Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. Episode, are you ready, Doc?
We're back.
We are back. Episode 100.
Oh, the centennial.
Oh, my word. We did it.
Wow. Amazing.
You know, we could have done that. I'm going to shut the door.
Shut the door. Keep out the devil.
Shut the door and keep out the devil.
Amen.
Man, it's good to be back in with you. I was going it alone there for a little while, and it's just not the same.
Yeah, you know I was down in the foreign land of Florida. Man, do we have a good time down there.
Yeah. Yeah, anything you want to share about Florida?
Man, people got healed.
They did.
We did healing over the phones. They got healed in Wisconsin.
From Florida.
From Florida, South Carolina. Who knows where else? It was nice.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man. Hey, so today we're going into 1 Corinthians 15. So while you're maybe you're at the shop working right now, I don't know. But if you're at home and you have the opportunity to get into your Gutenberg, do so. I like it, man. I'm glad I'm back in paper.
Amen.
I love it.
Kill some trees, man.
They'll grow back.
Hey.
Yeah.
They're renewable.
Hallelujah. So today we're going to be talking about, I kind of titled this Learning How to Overcome. Right, because so one of the things that's happened to kind of give you a time stamp on what's happening is that the Supreme Court, right, ruled that the Biden mask mandate no
vaccine
good.
Vaccine mandate.
The vaccine mandate
right.
is no good right. for OSHA.
Right.
They can't push that on the people.
Right.
Now, that brings in this huge, what it appears to be, a reprieve, right? But what happens when the enemy gets knocked down, right? You think he's done? I don't think he's done.
Oh, no.
But so there's this going to be this probably a lull in here where we have time to, like, we're going to build ourselves up. Tell yourself, hey, I'm going to build myself up on this. I want to move forward.
Amen.
I want to capture what it is that God has for me and my family.
Right.
And to move forward in the church, right, to move forward in being kind of becoming an understudy of the Holy Spirit. Like, hey, like, what? How do I move in this?
Mm.
So now that you're in 1 Corinthians 15, just stay there, and I'm going to read to you Jeremiah 12:5. It says this out of the New King James: "If you have run with footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan?"
Mm.
Right? And that sounds a little cryptic, doesn't it?
It does.
But footmen are soldiers. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. And the floodplains, the floodplain of the Jordan is this kind of a marshy, kind of weedy, there's like a brush kind of covering that kind of gets washed out a couple of times a year. But this is where smaller animals dwell. And this is where lions like to hunt, kind of a deal. Yeah. So how are you going to do in the floodplains of the Jordan?
Oh.
There is coming a time when we're going to have to be able to stand stronger than what we are right now.
Mm.
What's brought us into where we are today, right, isn't going to be enough to take us to where we're going to go. We need more, right? I mean, you think about the anointing. You think about when you first started, Doc, 20 years ago. I mean, what you have today in your trunk and what you had 20 years ago, it's almost different tools, right?
Right.
Different weapons.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that? Or no? Or do you want to just kind of move forward into Corinthians? Because we were talking lightly about it.
Yeah, I don't think they're not different weapons. They're sharper. I think they're more of them.
No more blunt trauma. Right. You just you can go right in, right. Take the heart, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, there's increase as you go along, as you're faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
And do His work and do His will. He's faithful to you.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And He teaches you, and you build upon truth, and more truth becomes available.
Mm.
Because we're partial, fragmented beings, especially as we come to Jesus.
Right.
And He's rebuilding us and putting us back together is basically what this is.
Right.
And so good things are coming, Pete.
Hallelujah. I'm excited. Amen. We're in a brand new year, and there's power to be had.
Yes.
Power to be had by you as you move forward in the things that God is going to reveal to you. And you've probably experienced where a word can get dropped into your soul, and it will change the direction of everything. Right? I mean, it's happened to you multiple times. It's not just a one-shot deal, like, right. Hey, I already experienced that. No, go back in and get another shower. Get in there. Get wet. Let's go.
Mm.
All right. So.
So, 1 Corinthians 15. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The risen Christ and faith's reality.
I want to just say something from the get-go here on this chapter 15.
Yeah, do.
And the resurrection. This epistle, 1 Corinthians, mm-hmm. is quite unique in this regard. It starts with the cross in chapter 1.
Ooh.
And everything else is, I mean, this. You think of the topics that Paul handles in this thing. It's crazy. It's the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy and Whoa. Abuses of tongues
right.
and
right.
and all their sexual problems and their relationship problems, all this stuff going on in the Corinthian church. And he sandwiches all of that in between the cross on the front end and the resurrection on the back end. Isn't that something?
That's something.
That's what he does.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I didn't even think about that when I went in here. And I can't remember how I ramped into this. But you're right. The spiritual gifts and the unity that comes through the use of those gifts in the body,
yes.
that the head, right, that we are the body that comes under the head, that the head doesn't go anywhere without the body.
At chapter 11.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And so really the cross and the resurrection together are the answer to just about everything. Right?
To all of our woes.
Yeah, especially when there's problems in whatever, problems in doctrine, problems in teaching, people are having problems with each other, families are having things going on in the family.
Yeah.
It's back to the cross and the resurrection.
Yeah. So, how do you want to move forward here?
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's speaking to believers who have been saved for a while. And we learn from inside the epistle, they've been filled with the Spirit. They're flowing in the gifts of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
By which, verse 2, you also are saved if you hold fast that word which I preach to you. Unless you had believed in vain.
Yeah. All right. So.
So there's some big trouble right away, right?
Yeah, I think
theological trouble.
I think you should to believe in vain. Let's.
How do you believe in vain?
I don't. Well, okay. So what's vanity?
Emptiness.
Emptiness.
Maybe Paul is getting ready here because Paul is he's a smart guy.
Right.
He's not that he's depending on his human intellect, but in the Holy Spirit, of course, is flowing through him as he is inspired to write these things down. But maybe he's getting us ready for what's going to come in the rest of the chapter.
Okay.
Okay. So, in other words, if you think you can play around with the resurrection, well, you know, I mean, that's great, but, you know, you realize
that. What's that got to do with today?
Yeah.
Maybe.
A lot to do today.
Well, it does, but if you're in the vanity side.
Atheists can believe that Jesus was crucified.
The demons saw that he was.
Their problem most of the time is believing in the resurrection, because they will not believe that.
Atheists?
Right. And a lot of skeptics, even that aren't atheists. Even people, some of them even call themselves Christians. These guys here that he's addressing in this chapter, I'll bet they called themselves Christians. Why does Paul take this up? Why do we have this chapter? Because people were denying that the resurrection was real.
And why deny that the resurrection is real?
Well, there are reasons.
Right. So what becomes the what if we're to look at how the enemy would come at the resurrection to make it not believable? Mm-hmm. That because it's a foundational truth. It's a building block.
It's right up
like
there.
You can't go very high if you don't have resurrection theory.
When you come to Christianity, okay, you got some pretty basic things you got to have a grip on. Like the virgin birth of Jesus, okay?
Right.
Without that, you got nowhere to start.
Yeah, but how do you tackle that? Other than, I'm going to choose to believe it, right?
Well, of course. Read it and believe it.
Right, because you're not going to see it happen anywhere else.
Right. Two books of the Bible describe it.
Right.
Okay, but then you talk about the cross, mm-hmm. and you talk about the resurrection.
Right.
You're at the core, and Paul's going to be talking about this in a few verses here, but I think we need to just talk for a little bit about, is it possible to believe in vain?
You mean like the Vikings going to the Super Bowl?
I believed it, man. I was there all the way for them. It didn't let me down, man.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, I don't know how else to get my head around. What else would you believe in vain for? I mean,
But the problem with the Vikings is when they get there, they never win. Like how many times?
Man alive. Yeah. And we say that obviously joking around. But believing in things in vanity, like to believe you think that something's going to, maybe we should have thought through this a little bit, but what exactly does that mean, believing empty, to believe on something with an emptiness?
Well, you empty out the content of the doctrine of revelation or the teaching or instruction about resurrection. And I would say Paul's getting ready. He's setting up so that he can establish that for us. Look, without the resurrection, you're in big trouble.
Right. We need the resurrection to build us up.
Right. And that not a spiritualized resurrection, which that's all out there in the church today. Well, yes, you know, there's this general resurrection that everybody kind of participates in.
Reincarnation.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that a form of, right?
Yeah.
Like, really? You're going to come back as a cricket?
Yeah. I'm going to rub my legs together and make nice chirping sounds for people. Yeah. They'll like it so much.
I'll get stepped on.
Oh, no, don't do that. But then you could come back as a hippopotamus.
Or a hypocrite.
No, but it's possible to believe in vain.
Yeah.
And furthermore, in verse 2, by the gospel by which you are saved, if.
Right.
What does if mean, Pete?
Well, it's conditional.
Oh.
It's a conditional clause, right?
Oh,
you like that?
I do.
See what I did there?
I made
you believe that I actually knew something about English, but I don't. Because well, I think you said it at one time.
Okay. If you hold fast that word, what if you don't hold fast the word that he preached? What happens then?
Well, a lot of other things can get on board.
And
other thoughts.
You would be believing in vain.
You would be. Yeah.
Do you think there will actually be people that will live their lives on this earth?
Oh, Doc.
There we go.
Come on. Let's do it. Cross
and
the bridge.
They've had some kind of experience of something.
Right.
With Christianity, maybe they call themselves Christians, maybe other people call them Christians, but they don't hold fast. This is what you were talking about from Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to hold fast. There's another level of stuff coming here.
Right.
And they didn't hold fast.
Golly, Doc. Do you understand that nations have been destroyed?
I do.
We have, right? Like, we are the last nation. A lot of people would say that America is the last nation to be destroyed because it is this nation that kind of puts its money where its mouth is. And in the form of the gospel, right. In the form of missionary work, in the form of giving,
evangelism.
Training people up
all over the world,
universities, colleges, I mean,
hospitals, wells.
Oh my word!
Yeah, the whole compassion of Christ and the power of Christ to the world.
Right.
Now there are other nations that do it, but you see why the enemy is so roaring against the United States of America right now.
Right. Yeah. And you're probably, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are that you're contributing to the very fact that the gospel is being preached, that missionaries are going abroad, that children are receiving food, right? I mean,
right.
I know that I wake up, right? We know, Doc, that there are hundreds of kids right now that are receiving water because of what this ministry has done.
Exactly.
And it's water. It sounds so basic,
right?
But it's the lifeblood when you come into the world system, you know, food, shelter, clothing,
right?
Water is one of those basic needs that people need to have.
So, to kind of summarize it here for verse 2, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which was preached to you. Unless you believed in vain. Now, here's how you're going to avoid believing in vain, and here's how you're going to be able to hold fast. You go on into verse 3.
Okay.
For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received.
All right.
So here is the basic, this is what Paul's giving us here right now, the very basic foundation and cornerstone of what is the bottom line of what you have to believe to be a Christian. Right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that you could put around the edges, like frosting on a cake, like your theory of eschatology.
Oh, my
God. You know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and certain, you know, there's certain doctrines that are, well, you know, this group believes
sanctification.
This, and this group believes that.
Holiness.
And this other group over here believes that. But these things here, if you don't believe these, you're kind of floundering around in vain. I'm sorry. So here's what he says. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, number one.
Yeah.
There it is.
Boom.
And that's how your sins get forgiven, and there's no other way. Okay? Second, that he was buried, which means he was really dead. So there goes the swoon theory, right?
He fainted?
Yeah. Jesus just kind of passed out for a while, and the Roman soldiers who are professional killers, okay, they didn't know he wasn't dead. Yeah. Right. Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got it. It takes a lot of faith to believe these theories, by the way. Right. No, he was buried. He was dead and buried. That's the second thing. And then the third thing is that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures.
Yet the according to the scriptures part
is
the Old Testament.
That's
right.
Correct.
When we kind of, you know, you kind of think according to the scriptures, like what has been written. Well, none of it's been written other than
what... The New Testament was not yet
written. Not even there.
Paul was writing one of the books right here as these words come into existence.
Right. So you think about all of that prophetic word that came forward out of the Old Testament that was shouting and bringing forth the birth, death, and the resurrection of the Messiah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, not just a guy. We're not talking about just a guy. We're talking about the Messiah.
In fact, let's look at one of those in Psalm 16.
All right, let's do
it. You just said it was the Old Testament, and it was. And there's so much in the Psalms about Jesus and prophecy and what was going to happen.
Right.
And these ones written by David, they were written 1,000 years before Jesus came on the earth. Think about that.
Yeah, the hope of the faithful.
This is Psalm 16, starting in verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption.
Mm-hmm.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Hallelujah. Man, I like that.
Man, although placed in the grave, he's not going to stay there. That's pretty much what it boils down to. According to the scriptures.
And this is David writing this, right? Like he's not anywhere close to what could he even imagine what Christ would be like. Do you think he even has...
It's prophetic. It's revealed ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah.
And what would David think if Jesus was being headed off to a slaughter?
Oh my word.
David. Dude, he was a fighter, man.
He was.
Holy cats. Jesus would be like, David, get behind me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, look at the next thing here.
Okay.
Okay, so those are the three biggies right there.
Yeah, I like
crucified,
those.
Number one. Dead, number two. Buried, raised from dead and buried. Number three, raised from the dead.
Right.
But then Paul won't stop there.
No, right.
That's all great, Paul. Those are all great ideas. No, he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we got a problem. Because now we're out of the realm of religious theories and ideas. Because this is what the skeptics say. Well, you know, the Buddhists have their theories, and the Hindus have theirs, and the Muslims. Everybody's got their theories, and Christians have their theories. But we got something that's more than a theory. We got guys that saw him after he was crucified. They saw him crucified. After he was put in the grave,
right.
He came up out of the grave. They saw him then. That's huge.
That is huge.
Because that's the point and what this whole chapter is all about. You're either if you can't believe that there was a real body of a real man standing in front of you that once was dead, but he prophesied that he was going to be raised from the dead, and now here he is. If you can't believe that, you really can't be saved.
Wow. And there's the if part, right?
Oh, yeah.
Holding fast to the word which I preached to you. Paul was hard on this.
Yes, he was.
He was getting upset over people being bewitched, about being taken. You know, it's not a new tactic, believer, that the enemy would come after you and cause you to have questions. Did he really rise up from the grave? Okay, but did people really see him? Did the 12 really see him? And even then, it gets bigger than that.
That's right. What happens next? Read it, Pete.
So the next thing in verse 6 says, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, which means that there was a gathering together, a who's who. You don't even know the names of these 500 people, but they were there, right? Like, you think they showed him and said, well, who's that guy? No, everybody knew who that guy was, right?
Right.
How could you not know who he was? Because that was the whole focal point of the entire culture, of the political parties. Everybody was included It wasn't a little sideshow that happened over here and nobody didn't know what was going on, right?
Right. And in verse 6 here, Paul says, of these 500 people, a greater part of them still remain, but some have fallen asleep, which means they died. 20 years have gone by here now from maybe 23 or 24 years have gone by since Jesus rose from the dead and this epistle being written by Paul.
Right.
And so, obviously, some people would have expired in that time.
Well, but it also lays hold of the fact that it was a multi-generational event.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It wasn't just a bunch of old people that went out there and saw him, and now they're all dead, and you can't ask any questions.
Right.
Right?
Right. And then verse 8.
After seven.
After that, he was seen by James and then by all the apostles.
Again.
There you go. And then verse 8. This is where Paul comes in himself.
Yeah.
Last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that appeared to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9?
Was it Jesus?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I am Jesus. Who are you, Lord? Oh. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Oh, man.
So there's one more, Doc, that we're missing out on.
Okay. Give it to us.
And it comes right in between 8 and 9 there, and it's you, and it's me, that we have seen the resurrection of Jesus. And really, we back into that, right? We back into it because we've seen the evidence of the resurrection.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders being one. Mm. Two is the change of my heart and my being. And listener, your heart has been changed and has been quickened, and you know it. And that is evidence of a resurrected, right? Everything that's been written here in this word has become as the truth and the shouting, the megaphone that's come into your life that says, hey, you know this to be true. Don't grow weary. Don't get slack in this. Don't fade back. Don't believe in vain. Come forward. The horses are coming. The horses are coming. The horses are coming. They're coming. And we're here, right, Doc? We're here as a ministry to equip. That's what you decided this long ago. I mean, you were equipping on the side of the academia,
right,
the equipping side there, but now you're on, kind of on this side of it,
right,
which is the miracle, signs, and wonders.
So, Pete, are you telling me that when an authentic, true healing or miracle from Jesus happens in a person's body, that is a modern-day attesting of the resurrection of Jesus?
I am.
Wow.
I would take an oath on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's one we just saw in Florida.
Okay. Yeah, we did. We did some scrubbing.
A lady was bone on bone in her knee. Very painful. She didn't want to go in for the knee replacement and all that. And just standing in the presence of God in the service, in the healing declaration, in the name of, guess who?
Jesus.
All the pain went out of her knee. She went home. She slept through the night for the first time in months. She came back the next night and she said, this is crazy, but my knee is okay.
Hallelujah.
And it was bone on bone. Now, we don't know exactly what the Lord did. I mean, he must have created something in there. Because when you're bone on bone, that's those cartilage deals wear away, right?
Right.
So you're just grinding down on it.
Right.
I mean, she's fine. No pain. No sedation. No nothing but Jesus.
And then we saw even this last Sunday down in Minneapolis, the woman with scoliosis.
Exactly.
She knew that she was healed of, and listener, that was not a word that was declared in the Declaration of Healing was about scoliosis.
It was other stuff.
It was other stuff. It was feet and legs and shoulders. It was traumatic injury.
But the presence came.
That's where I was going. There it was. Boom. She is standing in the midst of weeping, shaking and shuddering. And when approached, what happened? I've been healed of my scoliosis. She knew that she was. She was standing upright, standing up straight. She looked standing up straight to me when I was talking to her. And then the word of the Lord kept washing over her all through the service. You'd take a look back at her, and she had her face in her hands. She was so full of joy that you knew that here's another woman with a testimony over the resurrection of Jesus. Because he's alive, I can now live.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Well, yeah. I think, Doc, we could be at a good break right
now.
Yeah,
I think so.
So let's pray for our listeners.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, first of all, that you have us. Lord, that you are walking alongside us, Lord. There's no doubt for me, but Lord, that you would press in upon our listeners even right now, Lord, to bring them an assurance that you are with them. And Lord, that these men and women who are listening to this program right now, Lord, that they have been running in this race with footmen, with soldiers. They've been fighting and they've become weary. But Father, you say, Lord, that we can trust you. You say, God, that you will give us new birth, Lord, in new things, and Lord, and cause us to rise up, Lord, that like the sun that rises, Lord, that it was going to bring a refreshing upon us, Lord. And so that's my prayer, Lord, that you would come into our listeners, Lord. Lord, that you would even right now quicken them to heal, quicken them, Lord, in their spirits, quicken them, Lord, in their minds, Lord. Lord, that they would have an aptitude right now for your word. Lord, that they would not be weary right now, but Lord, that they would know that they are being equipped, Lord, to be able to not stumble and fall on open ground, Lord, but that they will run this race, Lord, that you have given to them. And Lord, that they will overtake these horses just as Elijah did. Right? Glory to God. So, Father, thank you again. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.